Cleaning everybody, we are here. Is it the last week? Yeah,
yes, the last
Saturday
week.
For this month.
Next
or do we have, be, no, we have one more Saturday. Saturday.
Next Sunday is first.
First, okay. 31st is a Saturday, so we got one more Q&A to go this month. We got so many questions, so many things happening. Things changed so radically. Like 2 days back, DNC was over, then the bombshell in Arizona yesterday, and before you know, it's out of the news. So many things happening, and it's never happened anything like this in such a rapidity in our lifetime. So God is trying to speak to us, and therefore we always get these current questions. Here, the questions we get for Q&A is always in the current news.
Fresh from the oven.
Fresh from the oven. So we are constrained to answer them, because these are the cries of people, the cries of people. So this evening, before we go to the questions, we once again look to the Lord. Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Though the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one, yes, we Lord. Know we are of God. And greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world, Lord. His power stops with our body, but you rule over souls and rule over eternity, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Commit all the dear ones all around the world into thy hands, Lord. Meet each one, Father. Those who are sick, they need healing. Those who are weak, they need strength. Those who are at the dead end, they need a breakthrough. And you are all that for us. In Christ, our salvation is complete, O God. So touch each one, Lord. Even the questions we answer, give us wisdom, give us discernment. And I pray, Father, people will be comforted. And not just comforted, but also convicted to get into their prayer closets and pray. Because we serve a God who promised us that if we turn from certain things, and then we call on to you, you will hear our prayer. You will answer from heaven, and you will heal the nation. That's why we come to you, Father. It's not just comfort. It's conviction.
Yes, Lord.
And it is action, Lord.
Amen.
Because you're a God who acts when you hear your people cry out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Yes.
Pastor, we'll start with question number one. It says...
Sammy, can you put it in full screen?
Full screen, Sam.
Because it is too small when it comes that way. Yeah. We have the portions and all. It looks straight from the email or PDF. Okay, yes, Pastor.
So it says, why will God not strike the people who are flaunting abortion dead? How can Kamala talk about the Bible and have an abortion clinic outside the DNC? Would you say that is blasphemy?
Yes, it is blasphemy, but there are many sides to this question. Okay, abortion is a major issue, and it's been there for thousands of years, and it's a very serious issue, because they put it across as a right. They put it as so many words they use. They use the word reproductive rights, and I find it very confusing. It's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Because reproductive right means the right to reproduce, right? So I thought it was crazy to use that term. I mean, as a English teacher, was thinking, what kind of a term is that? You use a term like reproductive right, and then you want to actually don't want to reproduce. I thought it was the right to reproduce, which is one of the first rights God gives us, where he says, be fruitful, right there in the beginning of the Bible, be fruitful. Then they use about my body, my right. But the problem is, when a baby is conceived, there are two bodies. It's not just one body. There are two bodies. So simple logic to cause people to think. Now when you say, why doesn't God strike those, who flaunt? Okay, if you come to, always remember, when it comes to all these issues which they try to put across as human rights, they are not human rights. human. These are not human rights. They put it across it as human rights to deceive people. These are not human rights. The main book is the chapter that deals in the new covenant is in the book of Romans. Mm. How people, when they lose God, they lose the consciousness of God. Then they lose the consciousness of what is right and wrong. And then God hands over whole. But when you come to verse 32. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. This is what the Bible says. Okay, now it talks about all the set of people who do. Please understand, when people do certain things, there are various reasons behind it. Yes. So we have to be very careful that we oppose an act, but yet we are also compassionate to people who are probably racked with guilt and live miserable lives, don't have the power to come out of it, who needs deliverance and healing. So we have to be very, very careful about how we deal with the person and the act. We condemn it absolutely, whether it's homosexuality, whether it is transgenderism, whether it's abortion, this all, we condemn it completely. But let us say, in the case of abortion here, okay, a child, young girl, fell in sin, got pregnant, and she's under enormous fear of the consequences of it, and then quietly goes and does, gets an abortion, and she's living in the misery of what she has done. So that's what I said, the person and the act. So we have to be very, very careful about it. But there is this set of people behind who sanction, like I said, because whether you accept you're an atheist or a deist, you believe in God or you don't believe in God, the fact your belief doesn't change what is true. The truth is there is God, only one God, and He's absolute and He's truth, and He is the truth. So He made us in His image, and like I keep saying, we cannot live without truth.
Mm.
So when we fall away from God, we have to create our own truths to legitimize our sins. And this verse 32 is talking about those people who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. These are the people. These are the philosophers and the theorists behind it, who will create theories, which is a lie, but so that it sanctions your action, whether it's homosexuality or transgenderism or 73 genders and abortion and all you need. So you have to, you have these people who do it, and they are the dangerous ones, the dangerous ones. And please remember, in the DNC, when they put it all up, you need to realize, if you look at the top issues in America, the top issues in this election, there are always issues, and the number one is inflation. People are struggling. According to the statistics which I read, is that 70% of the people in America, by their standards, are living in poverty. Meaning they don't have $500 in their savings. That's how bad it is. Okay, so inflation is number one. Immigration is so number two. So of the five issues, I forgot all these five, top five issues, of which one is abortion. Four issues are against the Democrats. The only issue that is for the Democrats is abortion. So they have to sell it.
Bah.
They have to sell it big. I'm talking about the political agenda, and I'm talking about the demonic agenda next. So you need to realize they have to sell it. They have to celebrate evil. Okay. They have to celebrate evil. I wish I can find it. There's a very beautiful statement. Somebody made. I take these pictures and keep it. Then to find it is very difficult. Because it's crammed with pictures. Okay, how we handle evil. Okay, I wish I can find it. If I can't find it, it's okay. Okay, but they are no longer now. This is the final stage, you need to realize, okay? how evil progresses. The final stage is that we start celebrating it. So what we saw that 4 days is they are celebrating evil. Okay, not just sanctioning evil, not pushing evil. Now they have started celebrating evil. Okay, literally outside there they are celebrating evil. Now we're going back to the question, we need to realize if undermulled, how does it happen? Is I'll put it across so that people who are hearing. Okay. And when you say, will God not strike? No, God. When Abel killed Cain, he didn't strike. There's a day kept for that. So he cannot pick and choose. Justice is, when it sweeps, it will sweep everybody. It will, every sin will be judged. Unrepented, unforsaken, unconfessed, which is not under the blood of Jesus. Everything will be judged. God has put a time and a day for that. Okay. So, you need to understand how it works. What is happening is this. Around 130 years or more than back, exactly, the most demonic, because behind it all ideas. You see, we are controlled by ideas. That's how man is different from animals. The ideas we believe in is who you actually are. What you think is what you are. And one of the most demonic idea that came in from the son, if I'm right, of a Jewish rabbi called Karl Marx. Socialism, communism, Marxism, these are basically
interchangeable,
okay? And Karl Marx is dead in his grave, but he still controls the mind of millions and millions of people, okay? And his idea has gone through most of the world, and the world has bought it. And socialism has never improved the lifestyle of anybody. And this is Karl Marx's own quotes, okay? So I'm trying to tell you so that, okay? Please understand that socialism hates God. The first requisite for the happiness of the people is the abolition of religion. My object in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism.
Bah.
Wow. Socialism, communism begins at the outset with atheism. And religion is the opiate of the masses.
Okay. Wow.
These are his statements. So you need to understand. So the question is, if you dethrone God, then you have to dethrone everything that God has spoken
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
So what takes the place of God is the state.
Wow.
Understand. It's the state. So you need to understand in capitalism and socialism, they hate families, nuclear families. Yes. They hate. And they're against the father. They're against the father. They have to, because this whole concept comes from, everything comes from God. God has a father, the family, the head of the family has the father. So behind radical feminism and all, because remember, these are all have Marxist roots. Everything has Marxist roots. So the behind all this is socialism. And the problem is socialism has kind of swept Europe and China. India is a different, this hasn't really, really worked over here. And then, so you see the last bastion is US. Once US falls, then the whole world takes over. And because the Roma behind it is the Antichrist, you will have to have that one government where the state takes over, and ultimately one man will take over. So what you see with America, because this is connected with America, this is, so you see in Europe, what they did was, Marx did was, he brought class warfare. He brought class warfare, the bourgeois versus the proletariat. That's how, class warfare. So if you look at the businessman is community small, the laborers are few, get them to fight against each other, have an armed revolution, and kill off all the business off, kill them all off. And that's how Russian Revolution took place, Mao took place, and the capitalism was seen as the enemy, businesses were seen as the enemy, but if you realize their systems collapsed and China was smart when they saw Russia going down, they went into a controlled capitalism. That's why you have billionaires in communist China, more billionaires in communist China after the US, because they realize their ideology doesn't work, you still need to make money. Socialism does not allow anybody to thrive. And and one of the reasons, and socialism destroys private property, the family, private property. Remember, family, private property, and all are from God. When God gave Adam, he said, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. That's where private property, Adam's home, that was his home. And he told him two things to do, the watch over it and tend it. And the problem with socialism is that you have no private property. And if you have no private property, you won't watch and tend it. So automatically it will fail.
There's no interest.
You won't take care of it. You won't take care of it. That's why you have to give private, your children things to own.
Exactly.
And tell them, you take care of it. Yeah. This is yours.
This is your baby.
This is your baby. Yeah, take care of it.
Literally.
You have to take care of it. Wherever that. But Christians are different. This is our issue. Christians are different. Christian needs to realize the whole earth belongs to my Father. And I'm a good steward.
Steward, exactly.
I will take care of anything that is given to me.
Amen. Amen.
And
amen.
Even if it's a rented property, yes, I will take very good care of it. Why? Because this belongs to my Father, amen, the earth, and ultimately I'm going to inherit this.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So our mindset is completely different.
Yes, yes.
Different. Okay, our mindset. Yes. So the problem is through class where they destroyed Europe. They destroyed Europe. But the problem is when you came to America, you couldn't use class warfare because America was birthed because the people who said, we want to build on our own, we want to prosper, we want to work hard, we want to own our own houses and our own cars and our own business. So they realized it wouldn't work. So they had to bring race warfare.
They had to bring race warfare.
So what they did was they were looking for people, they looked in the community and said, who is there in this group who has a grievance? And they found African American has a grievance. So they turned the African American, average African American who goes to church also into a socialist. And first they destroyed the African American family. The fathers are out. There are no fathers.
Bah.
Okay, so they're not fathers. If you look at it, the largest number of single parent families in the African American community, they took the fathers out. Second, they did was they incentivize the woman to have more babies and the government will support you. Okay, so you have mother run homes with fatherless children, and that's the hood. That's the hood. Okay, so they used class warfare. It's a classic socialistic this thing. Okay, now you need to understand this comes in the 1960s. And that the father of communism or socialism in US is a guy called Saul Alinsky. And Obama, Hillary are all his students. They're all his shishyas. All these people are his students.
He's Jewish also.
Okay. Okay. Now I will tell you what Saul Alinsky's quote, I will tell you so that you will realize where these people come from, how demonic here. This is what he says. He said, Saul, his own quote, okay, in his book, Rules for the Radicals. This is his book. This is one of his quotes. Lest we forget, at least an over the shoulder acknowledgement to the first radical who rebelled against the establishment, at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer.
Wow.
Okay, so you need to realize the demonic roots of all these ideologies. And if you look at Saul Alinsky, that's their guy. That's their mentor. His ideas is what Obama, Hillary, all Kamala, all these radicals in this, they are all, that is his mentor. That's the ideology they put across. Okay, we are not talking about the demonic side which has taken over through the Freemasonry circles. They all been pulled in. So you need to realize what is happening over here is...
So you mean to say this is the average Democrat's mindset, essentially? That
the Democrats were not like that before the 60s, 50s and all. They were the people who actually...
Liberals, basically.
They were not like that. They changed radically in the last 80 years. They changed. They completely changed, okay? And they went into this... If you look at Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood. You call it as Planned Parenthood. Basically, it's abortion clinics. And if you looked up in history and you look at where were all these abortion clinics, they were all in the black communities. Black communities, okay? And they have destroyed the black community, used their grievance, and impoverished them. And when the BLM riots took place, and the BLM founders, if you listen to what they themselves have said, we are trained Marxists. And what did they do? They burned down businesses. Because that's what Marxists do. They burn down businesses, okay? And basically destroyed the livelihood of thousands of people. And you need to understand, in the BLM riots, nobody was arrested. Because it all happened in those blue cities, and no DA arrested any of them, because you're working according to our ideology. Okay, so you need to realize this abortion alone is not a small thing. It's connected with the whole ideology. It's connected with an whole ideology. Okay, so we need to understand where this is coming from. And that's why they have to use race. They have to use race. Why has Kamala been propped up? Kamala has been propped up because they know, the Democrats know, the current Democrats, they are radical, demonic. They know they cannot win the elections without the black vote.
Without the policy.
Okay, yeah. Because the vote gap is always very little. And so you need the black vote to win. If the black vote shifts from the Democrats, they will lose every election. Every election. Because the difference between these two is only a few 100,000 votes in most states. Most states. So they need the black vote. So they put Kamala over there. They put Kamala over there. And they will use, it's typical Marxist thing to use, you know, racist, homophobic. They will use all these terms. Okay? And they will turn, call, that's what they call Trump all the time, racist, because you have not been taught to think on issues. That's a fundamental issue. Okay, the fundamental problem is you're not thinking on issues. But if you are a Christian, I'm talking only to the Christian, I'm not talking to the others, because for others, first they need to get saved. Okay, to the Christians, the African American, the white, or whatever you call, and if you're a regular church goer, you have to think about issues. The reason is because this is what Jesus said, you shall know a tree by its fruit. Tree by its fruit. Okay. So if you look at the downward shift of America took place because after Obama became president, literally, the shift was terrible. He's the one who lighted up the White House with the rainbow colors and everything, and transgender. All that began with him. And he ruled for 8 years, Biden for 12 years. 12 years of the last 16 years they have ruled. Okay. But you go to Trump. You go to Trump. And I challenge you. You go to Trump. Find out in his 4 years one ungodly law he ever signed. He hasn't. That's the fruit.
Wow.
One ungodly. He may not have known Christ during those years, but the fact is that he never signed one ungodly edit. Everything he did, if you look at issues, is the values that we believe in. And one of the first one, if not the first one, was stopping the funding, American taxpayers' money funding for abortions abroad. That's one of the first things he signed. Okay? And this is what people are not thinking. So they know if you come to issues, policy, you will be in trouble. So they bring abortion. They bring race. Okay? Now, the issue is you are no longer fighting for a woman's rights. You're actually fighting for abortion. The old days when the Democrats talked about women's rights, they were not talking about killing the babies. Okay? They were talking about, in exceptional cases, if a woman has to have an abortion, don't deny it. That was what they're fighting for. Now it has gone to the other extreme.
They hijacked
it
completely.
They hijacked the whole thing completely. They're actually sanctioning abortion for any reason up to 9 months or even after.
Bah.
Okay.
It's not for now the protection of the woman, it's for the destruction of the woman.
Now when, destruction of the woman. Now when this team was another demonic ideology person, when in Minnesota he signed that bill about putting tampons in all bathrooms. And you need to ask the question, why do you want tampons in men's bathrooms? It's for the transgender. It's for the transgender. Okay, you need to understand, why do boy needs tampons? It is for the transgender. The woman who claims to be a man but still has her periods. So you need to understand the ideology, the problem with all these things is they're all connected. Okay. And everywhere, I told you, this is the Amalekite spirit. Amalek came and attacked Israel, and they attacked from the rear, and they attacked the weak and the stragglers. So the weakest in any society always are the women and the children. They are the weakest, and God is always for them. That's why he says he's a husband, the protector to the widows, and a father to the fatherless. So because, when he says, when you talk about a widow, or when you talk about an orphan, who's missing? The father is missing. And their agenda creates widows and fatherless children. Even if the father is there, he's not there. So she has no protection and the child has no protection and they are the ones who are always under attack. So in all these things, you need to understand in their agenda, actually who is being destroyed are the children
and the women.
And the women. Okay, when you have this transgender agenda, you think about the girls and the women into these bathrooms, these men come in. And all you don't even have to be a real transgender who is facing these issues. You just have to pretend you are. And who's going to stop you? Because when this becomes federal law, if Kamala comes to power, it will become federal law. And after that, it will become the law. And if you go against it, they will come after you. Like the communists did with their laws in all those countries. Anybody who opposed, they just disappeared. You are picked up and you are locked up. Okay, so you need to realize what you are fighting for is the real soul of America. Wow. So why did God allow it? He's saying, see, I'm bringing it open. So in the first term of Trump, God just opened the eyes. He what was hidden, he brought out the way they went after him. The hidden agendas of all these people, and now they are flaunting it. And he says, and if you still say you are a Christian and you go and vote for them, you deserve what is coming. You deserve what is coming. God says, I put it out there in the open. I have put it all there in the open. No, basically everybody, like huge millions and millions and millions of you claim to be Christians, and you cannot be neutral anymore. Because in the old covenant, Israel went to war against their enemies. Because that was the old covenant. In the new covenant, in Christian nations, you go to war by voting. That's your spiritual act of choosing your government. That's by voting. And if you choose to vote for the wrong person, you choose to vote for the Amalekite or the Philistine. That's your choice. And if you choose not to vote, you also have allowed the Amalekite to enter into your house. You have no choice in Christian countries.
No neutrality.
No neutrality over there. Your voting is one of your acts of your spiritual warfare. So there are millions of Christians who don't vote, saying, "No, you can't. You won't have a country. You won't have a country left. The country will be taken over." So abortion is just one of the things over there. But they are all connected. And this is the face of the mod. And when RFK came out, okay, because people like RFK, who is the royal family of the Democrats, for them to come out like that, you need to understand that they realize what is at stake. Not that they agree in everything, but they realize what is at stake. And that, you know what? If this election doesn't go the way we think it's going, okay, if it doesn't go, you need to realize there will be no more America. That's the last bastion of freedom will be gone, and we will be fast forwarding to the B system, the Antichrist, to prepare the whole place for the Antichrist to take over. Okay, so God never struck anybody down. In Israel's case, he'd done. Within the church, he has done. But in the world, he never did it. He never did it. Okay, he never did. One Herod, he did it, yes, but he didn't. But because we are moving towards that, so my thing is that number fifth is the more. That's why. But like when it comes to the second question,
yeah, it's exactly.
The second question, question over there, no.
Second question, do you get any kind of a word from God?
Do you get any kind of word from God that President Trump will be back? Now, no, I even if I got, I wouldn't speak because I wouldn't be sure. I wouldn't be sure because, you know what, God is not in the business of ballot harvesting. God has given us a mode to select our own government. So that our job is to preach so people have informed. And then according to the information, you make your choice. Okay. I said before you life and death, blessing and curses, choose. He doesn't give the law. Then how do we know what is life and what is death? How do we choose? So one of the functions, America became one of the most powerful, richest, prosperous countries because of its pulpits. Understand that. Behind the growth of America was the pulpits. And behind the fall of America is also pulpit. The pulpit. They compromised the pulpits. They infiltrated the church. They put in wolves in sheep's clothing. They are not preachers. They are not pastors. They are all eaten into the other side. But they put across them. Infiltrated in the last 40, 50 years, you need to realize the church was infiltrated. Infiltrated. I heard, like recently, I heard from a black pastor on the net, him saying that they had 3,000 pastors, black pastors, on a Zoom meeting, and they're being told, trained, whenever these conservatives come, how to attack them using race. And he said, many, I said, how did you know about it? He says, many of those who were part of it were convicted, said, this is not Christian. This is an agenda, socialistic agenda. So they came out and they spread the word. This is what the Democrat Party is doing. Evangelicals for Kamala. How can you have evangelicals, Kamala? You need to realize they are not evangelicals. But they have clerical collars and they have churches. And they put this picture because unlike other countries in America, you need the Christian vote. You need the Christian vote. That is why they are selling all this in the name of God. Britain, they don't do it. Germany, they don't do it. France, they don't do it. Italy, they don't. These places, they don't do it. They don't do it. Okay? Italy, that lady won because she brought God into the picture. She said, God, family, religion. She brought it in and she won because it's more of a Catholic country. Okay? So you need to realize other countries, they do it, but in America, they do it. They have to bring. They cannot say we are socialist, Marxist, atheist. Kamala has to say I am a Baptist. Obama has to say I am a Christian. They all have to say that. Otherwise, you know what? They will not win. Because the margin of victory is very little. So you have to realize. So when it comes to Trump, the thing is that answer is, I don't know. I don't know. Because, but we always have hope. The reason why I say hope is that if you look at the first term of President Trump, and then in the last 4 years, like I have said this before, nobody has been attacked more than him. Nobody in American political history had so many cases and indictments against him. Okay, if you look at in Virginia, Smith, Florida, Georgia, where he was indicted, he was mugshot, two cases, civil cases in New York. But if you look
at an assassination happened.
Yeah, that comes after that. If you look at these cases, everything is on a standstill. Everything. Jack Smith, yesterday, I think he's not asking for a speedy trial. So that is not going to happen now. That Florida, it was thrown out by the court. And he won the immunity case in the Supreme Court. Now that affects a whole lot of things. Now Alvin Bragg's office has said that they are not pushing for a verdict immediately. So you look at it, they had everything with them, the whole system was rigged. They went after him. And yet, why did they fail? The answer is only God.
Only God, yes.
Only God.
That is the reason there is hope.
Okay, that's the reason why there is hope. Only God. If it wasn't God, there is no way. No way he could have got out of these cases, because he was looking at a system that went after him.
Hmm.
He had two impeachments. They couldn't get him out. These cases, they couldn't get a Fannie Willis. Nobody is talking of Fannie Willis fighting for her life. Okay, nobody's talking about the Georgia case anymore. The Florida case has been thrown out. And the Washington DC, Virginia, that one is on a standstill. New York is supposed to be September 18, but Alvin Bragg has said that no, but we don't know that. Judge is cuckoo. Okay, so you don't know what these dudes will do. But if you look at the cases, nobody's talking about the cases. Then the whole thing was the assassination attempt seems to have been rigged, because it looks very suspicious, very, very suspicious, that you are not getting any more information about how this happened, how did the videos of another person running, who is this, and they're keeping a complete blanket, this thing over him, his encrypted accounts abroad, how did this 21-year-old kid get this thing, and it is credible information that has come through the intelligence, this thing that Iran has put a price tag on Trump's head, that they want him dead by November 5, because they don't want him win, because if he win, they are back on the back foot again. They can't go nuclear, because he put them on the back foot during his 4 years. So all this is there, but the system, the government that is ruling, doesn't seem to be doing anything to threaten Iran to don't do all this. They are not, meaning if you kill them, it's okay with us, kind of a this thing. So that took the assassination attempt. And even the assassination attempt, you'd listen to all the experts, the snipers and all, said it was impossible for him to miss. Impossible for him to miss. But for God.
Bah.
It was impossible for him to miss, because you know. And after that, he ate shots he fired. It's not that one shot. Okay, he fired 6 or 7 or 8 shots he fired. But he ducked after that. As soon as he put his hand on, he just ducked. He went down. You need to realize it was simply God. I mean, it was not possible. It was simply God. So you look at all the cases they went after him. You see this thing, and then the debate, Biden failed, and they panicked. They have put Kamala over here. Now it is Kamala. They're covering her up. And the whole media is controlled by them. So if you look at me, is there hope? Yes, there is hope. Okay, he could come back on November 5th. But like I said, it's all in, ultimately, it's in the God's hands and the people's hands. Okay, and the people have to pray. People have to pray. Okay, because it's one man, literally one man standing between the fall of America. Okay, fall of America.
And the rise of the Antichrist.
Just one man, political figure, we are talking about one man standing. And if you ask about the other people, you could have said, well, if like the Chris Sununu will say that any other Republican candidate would have won by 10 points, which is true. It's true. But I probably won by 5 points, 6 points, easily won, because but the problem is they won't do what he will do. That's the difference. They won't do what he will do, because they're all compromised. That's the difference. Like Nikki Haley comes. She's a warmonger. Warmonger. She will go full this thing with the war. The fact of the matter is, you look at the 4 years. I mean, honestly, look at two war spheres. One is Ukraine, Russia, and Israel and Hamas. Both this wouldn't have happened. We are not talking about 100 or 1,000. We are talking about hundreds and thousands of casualties, widows and orphans. Ukraine is destroyed.
So what?
It's destroyed. A nation is destroyed. Okay, bombing. In Russia also, how many their casualties, the numbers we do not know. The men that have been killed or wounded. And think of it. This is how you have to think about it. Remember, Satan is a warmonger. Satan is a warmonger because he loves death. God is the God of peace. And blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, and you need to realize, when he was there for 4 years, there were no wars. There were no wars. And if he comes back for the next 4 years, there will be no wars. No wars. Okay, but they are doing everything, you know, American army, and we are not talking about arms, we are talking about the American armed forces, in their modern history, is at their weakest. It's because men are no longer willing to join because they have brought in the woke agenda into the army. So they don't want to join. People don't want to join. Okay, they don't want to join. America, see, the whole, you look at Ukraine's incursion into Russia. You've seen how they got in a few weeks back and they're still in there. The Russians are not able to drive them out. Ultimately, they will drive them out. And if you look at Ukraine's success in the battlefield, a country with 7 million fighting a superpower with 250 million people, how are they fighting? It's simply the awesome superiority of Western weapons. Mm-hmm. Western weapons are far, far superior to anything the rest of the world has. And America holds most of it. That's why other countries fear America. Fear America is one, the sheer patriotic fever of their army, their soldiers, the way they are trained, and the superiority of their weapons. So nobody will fight if you have the will. Even the Houthis will keep quiet. Red Sea will open. And the Suez Canal will open. Because if Trump comes to power and they try anything, he'll just finish them off. He will, that's what he did with the ISIS. Not just with the ISIS, also with the Russians. The Russians were in Syria. The Russian mercenaries were in Syria. And when they tried something with the Americans, he just gave the command. He gave his command and said, do it. Around 500 Russian soldiers are supposed to have died in one attack. Okay, and the Russians kept quiet. Okay, they won't try anything because nobody wants a nuclear war. But even North Korea was quiet. Everybody quietened down. And that's all we need. Okay, all we need. But now we are, whether he will be able to do that much in the second term, I don't know, because of BRICS. Because they're trying to replace the American currency. The BRICS have come through and all kind of things. But the economy is very, very fragile. The whole world economy is at the precipice, about a crash. Mm. It's a bubble. Mm. Okay. So I look at all that. People cry out. He may come back. I don't know. I do not know whether God is tired and says, it's enough. My people, I'll take them out. Let them have the world. Okay, so are we there, or will he hear the cry of the people and give him a second term? But if he gets a strong second term, it would be the renaissance of America. In the sense, when I say a strong second term, I'm talking about the Republicans getting the White House, the Senate, and the Congress. And I'll say, if they get all three, he will do miracles. He will do miracles. Because it's all policy. It's all policy. Capitalism works. Okay? Okay, crony capitalism, not like in America. Not like that. Two families, you are supporting them, raiding the other, shutting down the other. That is not the kind of real free market. Real free market. And that's how we have to see. Because socialism doesn't work. Because all the DEI, equity, this thing and all this is, no, because you need to understand, you need to ask, in Chicago, during the DNC convention, after Obama spoke, when the reporters went into the hood in Chicago and asked them, whom do they support? They said Trump. And they said, why? Because we have lost all our jobs. When he was there, we were at their best. Because you need to realize, the Democrats, let's not use the word Democrats, because they're not Democrats. It's an
oxymoron.
They're not Democrats. Even in their success in this thing, there was no democracy.
There was no democracy.
The woman who did not get one vote or one delegate became the president, and 14 million people voted for Biden, and he was kicked out. That's not called democracy. That's what communists do. Actually, that's what communists do. Stalin will kill the next one, and the next one will kill Stalin, and the next one will kill that fellow. It's taken out. That's what. Here they cannot kill. They put the gun to his head and said, you retire. Okay, and you imagine, think about the first day of the DNC. The sitting president of America was asked to speak after midnight. After midnight. Think about it. They humiliated that man. But I also don't think they did. I think they had to pump in enough drugs for him to be able to stand up, and that happened only after. It's true. Everybody knows. He's a drug addict. She's drunk. They all survived that way. I mean, everybody knows about it, but they have used race. They have used race. And you have to hear African-American pastors who are godly speak about it, that the idol in the African American is the color of their skin.
Bah.
Race is their idol and they are not able to see beyond race. And these communists come and use it.
Mm-hmm.
Communists come and use it. So that's how you have to see it. And if he comes back, I don't know. Maybe he will come back. See, I'm not sure only because I don't know what God's plan is. Is he saying it's over or is he going to give another 4 years? But we pray. Always pray for what is right. What is right is policy. You have to look. When you're talking about governments, you're not looking at the person. Because person may be brash, may say, but ultimately you judge a tree by his fruits. Right? You don't like the tree. The tree looks very scarred, but it gives wonderful, yummy mangoes. You won't cut the tree down. You won't cut the tree down. Another tree looks so gorgeous, the tree, this thing is so green and everything, but year after year it doesn't bring forth any fruit. Okay? And that's what Jesus said, curse the fig tree. Okay? So you look at parties, you look at people, and look at policy. Policy and the implementation of it is basically the fruit. So you look at his 4 years and you look at the 4 years subsequent to that. And my whole question is, why did they deliberately open the border? That's the first thing Biden did when he became president. He opened the border. Why are they opening the border and allowing, which country will allow in 4 years, 10, 12, 15 million people in? Unvetted? Hundreds and thousands of children have gone missing. You don't even know where they are. Why would you do that? What is your political agenda? Answer. One day when there is an awakening in the black community and their eyes are open, we need to replace our vote bank with them, and because that is what they are doing. So the blacks are awakening up and they realize we are losing our jobs. See, some people are like that. It's not a racist statement or anything. Blacks are good with their hands. They do those kind of work. That's what they are good at. And they are the ones being replaced by the illegal immigrant because he will work for half the pay. And they're losing their jobs. And suddenly, you know, you have a crisis in the African-American community. They don't have jobs. And the question is, who did it? The very people you voted in did it. And they're thinking about Trump. Okay, thinking about Trump. When he says, our community was, businesses were booming, we had jobs, we had money, you could go, you know, to the grocery store, you could buy, stores were all full, everything. Ultimately, you look at policy. Okay, and he never put in money for abortion, he never put in money for transgender, he wouldn't have allowed any of these things to happen. The question is, so what do you believe in? So will he come in? If the people pray, he will come in, and it's not enough that he come in, and you have to vote down the ballot. You have to vote down the ballot. Because you will see in some of the states, his lead is so high, but the Republican senator is below. That means you're still not thinking. It's not thinking. Because if he has to push a policy, he cannot do it through executive orders alone.
The bills have to be passed
by Congress, ratified by the Senate, and he able to do that. And that's what you have to think. So, I am praying he comes back. But I'm also praying that he is not killed before November the 5th. Because these people are
demonic.
Wicked, demonic, and they have created this through fake media. They have created so much hatred towards him that if he is assassinated,
nobody will cry.
Nobody will cry. No, the Republicans have been cowed down so much through the January 6th. They did that. They used the January 6th to put almost 1,400 people in prison. And giving them the sentences or the courts basically to create fear. To create fear. So you need to realize so many things are done to create fear. Like, no, what is the name of that person? Simple people, no, old people and all. The SWAT goes in, FBI with the full armored gear goes in 1 o'clock in the morning with CNN being tipped off and their cameras over there, and the poor man is pulled out and handcuffed in his pajamas. And the question is, why are you doing that? Why do you know we are following protocol with this man? Why do you have to do it? You could have come in the morning, knocked on his door, he would have surrendered. Those kind of, why are you creating it? To create this fear psychosis in the people. And media is used for that, to create fear, 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 fear in the this thing. And that's how they are doing it, how to control. So if you want a country, and you want your country back on its rails, think. Don't look at his tweets or some other things he says. Look at his policy. And look at the smooth-talking Barack Obama and look at what he did. What he did. Okay, because Kamala is very clear about her policies. Whatever she has spoken in the past, she wants to abolish private health care, Medicare. She wants to abolish it. Meaning everybody will be forced to join the government health care. And you know what happens? What happens in Canada? You have to wait in the line.
It's horrible.
If you don't wait in the line, many people die while they're waiting in the line. But here, no? We don't go to Gandhi. We don't go to Gandhi. We know, boy, my life is at risk. Let me go to Yashoda. Okay, you have insurance. You go to Yashoda. You go to Yashoda. You go to Apollo. You go this place, global. You go to all these places. In America, you won't. If universal health care comes, you don't have that choice. The choice is taken away from you. You'll all have to go where they tell you to go. And after some time, they will also say that you don't have to live.
That's what they did in Canada.
Yeah, they will pull the plug.
You have the right to kill yourself.
This is, people do not know, but young people in the colleges and schools have been indoctrinated with socialism. And now the question you need to ask is this. 15 million illegal immigrants. Who pays to support them? You who work and pay your taxes, your tax is being used to support them. So you work. Okay, you work. And this is the question people are talking about. They're talking about equity. Equity is like, it simply does not work. Somebody works and makes the money, then you take the money he makes and gives it to the fellow who doesn't do a day's job. It doesn't work. I heard this pastor, he explained it to his congregation, a black pastor explaining it to his congregation. He says, think about this. Okay, he said, you work overtime the whole year because you want to make this money so that for your Christmas, you get that as overtime, all that money you are compiling it. Okay, all the rest of the employees, nobody wanted to work overtime. They did their own stuff. They worked, but they did this thing. And then when Christmas came, the business owner says that you worked overtime the whole year. This is your package. That is, let us say, $20,000 overtime. You worked for it, but I don't think it is fair. I'm going to take that $20,000 and distribute it among all the other workers. What would you say? What would you say?
Most unfair thing, actually.
Most unfair thing. But that is why God, right in the beginning and throughout scripture, ordained one thing. Men ought to work.
Yes.
If a man does not work,
he should not eat.
He should not eat. Hmm. Why did he say? Because he have to work. You have to work. It has been. But a lot of people just live off food stamps. Just sit there and do nothing. And the fellow who works pays the taxes. And they have no incentive to work. I remember during that pandemic, post-pandemic this time, people were being given money. Mm. And so they did, the workforce, many businesses shut down because there were not people who were coming to work. Because you didn't have to work. You were getting a bigger paycheck sitting at home. So they didn't come to work. Oh. You need to understand how this. That's why I said, for all said and done, I don't approve of many policies of the Congress or AAP. Because what do they do is they incentivize laziness. What you need to do is create an environment where businesses flourish. Because I still remember long time ago somebody telling me or hearing somebody tell, is this a poor man never gave me a job. Never gave me a job. It's a rich man who employs. And Jesus always said, don't try to create an egalitarian kind of a society on earth. It's not going to happen.
The poor will always be there.
Poor will be always
there
be
in your midst.
Okay? That will be always
there. That's a test for the poor man as well as a test for the rich man. Both.
It's a test for both. Okay? So it will be always there. Mm. So am I, if which form of economic environment will I choose? I'll always go for capitalism.
That's the closest to the kingdom.
The closest to the kingdom. But for me, they would be very compassionate.
Capitalism, not crony.
Capitalism. And where you look in the kingdom of God, they understood we are a family.
Actually, in India, Narayan Murthy was the one who actually started compassionate capitalism. He said, you know, all the CEOs, I know that we can take a lot of payback, but we will choose not to, because we will incentivize it and give it back to our employees.
And the fact of the matter is, for all you may say about President Trump, okay, he's a billionaire, he worked, okay, he made his money. Okay, you can't say he made his money illicitly, because if he made it illicitly, they would have caught him. Mm. They didn't.
They could not.
They couldn't. They went through all this thing, and he says wherever he, this thing, it was according to the law, he didn't pay the taxes, which is true. If you are given 60,000 off for your house rent, will you say, no, I don't want that, I want to pay that 60 to the government? You won't do that. You will say, that is what the government gave me the rebate. Right? We take rebate on tax or on house rent. We take rebate on the insurance we have paid. We get rebate. And you are not going to be so generous and say, I don't want that rebate. No. So it's okay. But the question you need to ask is that, those 4 years he was president, did he take 1 rupee from the government?
No.
$1. Because you have to take a salary. Mm-hmm. So he said $1. You have to admit that in the U.S. history, I don't know. And you mean to say all those presidents were poor? They were not poor either. They also could have taken $1, but nobody did.
Mm.
Nobody did. Okay, nobody did. Okay, Clinton did. Obama did. Reagan did. All were millionaires. Many of them were millionaires. They did. They all took their salaries, but he didn't take his salary. Okay, so you have to look at it. Okay, so I do believe if the people still cry out, and in a couple of weeks' time, what you will see is that the mail-in votes will begin. Mail-in voting will begin. Okay, mail-in voting will begin. And pray above all the African and the Hispanic communities. There is awakening among them. Pastors will stand up and they will speak, and people will also leave the fake ones, and start listening and vote accordingly, because you need to understand, even in the kingdom of God, the only thing that is free is your salvation.
Everything else you have to work.
Everything else you have to work for it. You want to be sanctified, you have to work for it. You want to be holy, you have to. You want to be prosperous, you have to work for it. You want your healing, you have to work for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to
fight
for your health.
You want to walk in your deliverance, you have to fight. That is called the fight.
Fighting.
It's a fight of faith. It's a fight.
Nothing. All this land I've given you, but you have
and
to
even
fight.
Your salvation is free only because somebody worked for it.
Fight. Yeah, somebody fought for it, actually.
You worked for it.
Absolutely.
You worked his guts out for 33 and a half years. Every day was a battle for him, not only to be born holy, to be holy, his holiness. The first 30 years, it was a passive holiness. Then the next 3 and a half, out in the public eye, it was an active. Okay, so that's what you have to look at it. You have to work at it. And if you don't work at it, don't blame you. It's okay. You want to be prosperous in the kingdom? It's not name and claim. You lose it all. Okay, you have to work for it. There is prosperity in the kingdom of God, but you have to work for it. You want your healing? You have to work for it.
Absolutely.
Oh, the woman who issued the blood for 12 years, she heard about it, and then she talked about it and sat in her home. She would have died early. She walked all the way. She pushed through the crowd. She came to him. She got on her knees, touched the hem of his robe, and she was healed. So there was a work
involved.
There was a work involved. And how you walk in your healing, you have to get into your word. You have to look into the word. Look at the principles of God's kingdom. What are the laws that affect? Walk in it, you will be free.
Amen.
So there is work involved in everything. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there is work. And God does not sanction or encourage laziness. He doesn't. And socialism does. Socialism does. And the problem is, socialism will always create a breed of dictators. Always will create. Socialism has always created the most ruthless dictators ever. Because they don't value life. Why? Because socialism begins with the premise, there is no God.
And there was
there is no God. So, they have no value for life. Whether it is aborting babies, mutilating children through transgenderism, or whichever way, telling this youth to go out and destroy their lives, okay, destroy their lives. So, let me, why are people living in their droves from California? Businesses shutting down and leaving. Why? Because you're not going to thrive. If the young people have been encouraged to loot the shops, how are your business going to survive? What are you teaching the young people? Stealing is okay on some supposed grievance that took place 100 years ago? What are you teaching? And this is Kamala was the Attorney General of California, right? Right? These are the laws that is happening in the worst state in US. Okay? So you need to ask yourself, are you thinking color or are you thinking policy? Okay? And the same thing happens in the kingdom of God. That is the problem with the church. Why is the church so weak? Like I said, if you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Same principle matters. And they continued steadfastly in four things: doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And of course, modern setting, we have worship also. Let me tell you, worship can be duplicated anywhere. Fellowship can be duplicated anywhere. You can have fantastic fellowship even outside the church. Real good fellowship. Prayers can be duplicated anywhere, but the pillar is doctrine. And that's what people don't look for. They are not looking at doctrine. The first thing the apostles did was make the people, their churches, strong in the doctrine of Christ. This is who is this Christ. Does this doctrine accord with Christ? They made them strong in doctrine. But today, if you ask people, they will say, worship was so good. Mm. The word spoke to me. Mm. What did it speak to you? What did it speak to you? Okay. And fellowship was so great. No, we gather every week for prayers. But that's not the key. The question is all this according to doctrine? I gave that to John 9 and 10. Okay, it's only one chapter, 2 John 9 and 10. In church, this is the issue. In the country, you have to look at policy. In a church, you have to look at doctrine. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God.
Period.
Meaning the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of whether you have God or not is your doctrine. What is that you believe? What is that you believe? Okay, so your doctrine matters. Okay, so you are saying I am for abortion. I tell you, you do not have Christ. Because you cannot be a Christian and sanction murder babies. Because life begins with God. He is the author of life. He said, thou shalt not murder. You cannot kill. Okay, you cannot. I mean, a mother, a woman under stress having an abortion is one thing, and the same woman saying abortion is okay is a different thing. These are not the same. These are not the same. So please understand, I am not condemning those who have taken abortions, but I am condemning those who condone abortion, because you do not have God. You cannot have God because it does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Again, somebody who was molested as a child, a girl or a boy, now growing up, is struggling with homosexuality, lesbianism or homosexuality, struggling because of something that happened, is really struggling and maybe falls into it also, but is convicted of it, but never condones it, never says it is right, never says it is okay. You have, God will have mercy on that person. But when he starts pontificating and saying, this is what is right, don't you dare judge me, this is how God is, this is how God has made this thing, then you don't have Christ. It is not the doctrine of Christ. So there is a difference between these two. In everything, there is a difference between these two. That is where we are talking about. We love people who are sinners, and we are trying to bring them out of sin, but we don't condone sin. And Jesus never did. He was always with the sinners. You will never see in one single place he who was flocked by sinners ever not loving them or condoning their sin. He never did that. He loved them, and he was trying to bring them out. Even to the man who was a cripple for 38 years, he says, healed it, they don't do this again, go back. Something worse will happen. The woman caught in adultery. Does anybody condemn you? She said, no, I also don't sin again. Everywhere you see the pattern. That is what you're talking about. But these people in the Democratic Party today, you need to realize They are not ungodly. They are not ungodly. They are evil.
Mm-hmm.
They are not ungodly.
Evil men and imposters.
Evil men and those pastors, whole set of them who support them are imposters.
Deceiving.
And God has put it right there and says, the line is drawn. I don't care you are a pastor. I don't care you are an apostle. You are a whatever you are. The line is very clear. If you support this particular party in this age, you're not a Christian. You cannot be a Christian because they do not. I'm not saying therefore all the others in the Republican camp are Christians. They are not.
No,
but they are not evil.
Hmm.
They are not evil. They are not evil. They may be bad apples in their lot, but they are not evil. Because you look at their platform and you look at this platform, they are not evil. They don't have, they don't have wickedness in their platform.
Hmm.
They don't have wickedness in their platform. It's absolutely clear. It's like, what is it? Chalk and cheese.
The night and day, exactly.
Absolutely chalk and cheese. Mm. So today is right open before your eyes. And people, there are two things that will happen on November 5th. One is the election to decide the soul of your nation. The second thing, it's judgment day for Christians, whether you are a Christian or not.
Bah.
There's
no neutrality. That's
There's
it.
No more neutrality. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. He says, those who don't gather with me,
they scatter abroad.
They scatter. If you're not with me, you're against me. And the whole thing has been put clear. Okay. Put clear. Okay. And they both begin with God. They had God preachers coming and praying. And they had the archbishop, one bishop, Catholic bishop also blessing the DNC convict. What kind of a dude is that fellow? Okay. You have an abortion clinic over in the first 3 days, 21 babies got aborted over there. As if these women had no other place to go. So they are also flaunting it over there. And this guy comes and blesses their convocation. The convention.
Papa, you were talking about a resurgence of the conservative movement among the Catholic.
Yeah, that is what I read about the statistics that among the young clergy who have been ordained in the U.S. Catholic Church, 80 to 90% are very conservative. And the liberals are all the old ones. So when it's the old one, if the Lord gives us time, in the Catholic Church also, remember, there are godly people are there. If God gives us time, in the next few years, these old ones will all retire and the conservatives will come back and they will go back to the old values. They'll go back to the old values. Okay, so we do not know how much time we have or God is extending his hand of mercy and all, but there has to be from bottom up. And I will always tell you, the thing is that the issue is pastors. The pulpit matters. You have Democrats who are pastors in the Senate. Okay, they're imposters. Raphael Warnock from Georgia and all. They're all imposters. Imposters. So many are there, imposters. Okay. But you, this is what the Bible is telling. And if you look at that one John, 2 John 9, and the second, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him.
And the next verse is also very interesting. First, if anyone does it, actually, listen.
Yeah, verse 11.
Verse 11.
Okay. Okay. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds.
This is like, okay. It's like,
so that's how tough God is, because he marks who he is. Okay, so we have to distinguish between these two parties, and I'm praying he comes back. First I'm praying he's safe. Every day we pray for his safety, Lord, see that he's not assassinated. And
God.
Protect him. You did it once, you will do it again. You believe, and then November 5th, let be an earthquake in America, Lord. Let we be a political earthquake where they take all three. They take all three. And he has to put this time. You see, the first term, why he struggled so much was that he didn't know, even when he became president, he was set up by the, because he came from the non, he's the only president in U.S. history whose family or himself had absolutely no political ties.
Mm.
or military ties. This is how American politicians come, either with the military, the establishment, and he had nothing. He's the first one, the real outsider to come in. He's the first outsider. He just straight away became president. No Congress, no Senate, not even city council, nothing. Straight away. Okay, he became president. He's an outsider. So he didn't know the inside working. Second term he comes, it will be a bloodbath. Because he knows the inside out. He knows who is a Freemason, he knows who is not a Freemason. Who knows who is in the circle, who he knows it all. And he will start weeding out.
There will be a purging.
There will be a purging that will take place. In the FBI, in the CIA, in the Homeland Security, in the Education Department. He may just break Washington up. Okay, he has got his own ideas. His ideas is to create 20 megacities. 20 mega, 10 or 15 or 20 megacities to create. We have, since our country is so this thing, put in the money so the young people have jobs, let economy boom, create these things and bring industries back, let America thrive. Because he's got so many economic ideas and policies and all these things has come. Okay, has come in. But all this depends upon God's timeline. If Christ is going to go, the church should be praying, Lord, have mercy so that we get our lives, our homes into order, and Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. These two have to go side by side. Okay, have to go side by side. So ultimately, all this is temporary. Any economic boom is also temporary. What is real boom is the kingdom of God comes down. Christ comes in. We will see.
I think you can, question number three also is on the same lines. You can just possibly look at it and you can actually continue. What you're talking about.
Is God waiting for all of us as a church to come together in unity? Give us one more chance to repent and turn, which is his okay. That's his God's okay. Peter talks about God's long suffering so that no one should perish. But many will perish. Many will perish. And to bring all them together. Okay. So the church, I mean, we can only be united in the Spirit. That's what we have to pray, that the Holy Spirit will convict different denominations who don't even talk to each other, don't know each other, different churches. But the Spirit is the same. Amen. He should convict them to come back together. In your own places, start crying out for the nation, to turn the nation back to God and put our lives, our homes in order. And then God will show mercy. Either he will save people and take them out, or he will extend his hand for a season of peace, like I said, from the book of
Acts 9:31.
In the midst of all the persecution the first century church was going through, God gave them a window. That's an awesome window in 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea. If you read verse 30 also, put 30.
This is Paul. Saul becomes Paul.
Okay, when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea, sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout. So God usually does two kinds of things. One he can do is raise up a righteous person. Raises up a righteous person. Okay, righteous person. Or he can take the wicked out. Okay, in this he took the wicked out. Because the persecution was spearheaded by a young man called Saul of Tarsus. So he took him out. He took him out by changing him.
Absolutely.
Okay? Suddenly there was no leader to lead the persecution.
Actually, somebody said, no. I think possibly the church was saying, praying, Lord, take this guy out. And the Lord took him out.
Remember, he was very zealous for the law. You need zealous people. You know?
Hallelujah.
Okay, you know? So he took him out, turned him around, and then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So ultimately, we are looking at it. We want rulers. We want governments that will give us peace. Okay, please give us. And please give us the freedom of religion. Not from religion. We want the freedom of religion. We want the freedom of religion everywhere. Any religion. Give us an open platform. No threatening, no violence, nothing. Hindu come and preach, Muslim come and preach, we will also preach. It's a marketplace of ideas. No threatening. Muslim is not allowed to threaten, Hindu is not allowed to threaten, and you will realize I have the best idea. Everyone has a market blast.
That's it.
You work till the end of your life and try to save yourself. I'm saying my God saved me.
Bah, hallelujah.
You have no answer to my idea.
That's it. The best.
The best. Absolutely. You come to the end of your life, you still are not sure whether you are saved or whether you have. But I begin my life when I come to Christ. Mm. I am my last salvation. So you wanna have, give us that platform. And only in Christian nations, that platform was available once. Available once. Okay. And why has USA become the melting pot for the past so many hundred years? It's because it was built on the premise of liberty. So all the oppressed people from around the world, whichever country it is, oppressed people from around the world, Muslim nations and all, they all came here escaping the tyranny of their own nations. Because there was freedom. But if the socialism comes in, that freedom will be gone. That freedom will be taken away. So therefore, the church's job is to pray and to be informed. Pastor's job is to inform. The people's job is to pray. And then everybody needs to go out and vote according to the platform, the values you see. And you have, okay? For everything they are blaming Trump. And like somebody in the conservative commentator in CNN said, everybody is blaming Trump. But in the past 16 years, 12 years of Democrats rule, it's like Modi here. All the thing is Congress is the problem. The past 10 years, you've been ruling. The last time Congress ruled was when?
It was UPA. It was UPA.
2014. Last. We are talking about 2024 and still they have to be blamed. So what were you doing for 10 years? The same question should be asked. He ruled for 4 years and in 2019, before pandemic hit, 2019, US had reached almost its peak in their history. It was at the height. No wars. American military was at the highest. Economy was booming. Everybody had jobs. Things were looking so good. So they brought in what we should call plandemic. It was a planned endemic. It was planned out. And we have to wait out and see what they will do. This one more thing they will do. If they cannot kill him. I'm telling you, this is why if you are not informed, you have to pray that they don't do it. If one more thing, they can't kill him, there's the last thing in there. They know he's going to win, they're going to take all three and he's going to win. There is one more thing they will do. They will create a war. Because if a war in which America is involved, you can cancel the elections. Okay. So you have to watch out because these guys are socialists, communists. Communists don't care for life. They don't care for any. They care only for their ideology. And they don't care how many people die in the process. Okay, you need to realize, take all the religions put together from the beginning. Abel being killed by Cain, it's a religious murder. All the people that have been killed by religions put together and look at how many people the communists have killed in the last 100 years, you would see the communists have killed billions. Billions. The rouge, the way the most wicked was theirs. Visible. Just slaughtered. Kim Yun-sung. They're all supposedly communists, remember? North Korea, China, Russia. Billions.
And Eastern Europe.
No number, no name, nothing. Just kill them. Okay? Because that's what happens when you don't have God in your psyche. When God is removed, nature abhors a vacuum. So who takes the place when God isn't there? The devil takes over. Remember, Jesus said, last verse for today, John 8:44. Jesus said,
kya baat hai? He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That's the verse.
That is the verse. John 8. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And I have no shame to tell about Obama or Kamala or by all who support and push this radical abortion. You are of your father, the devil.
That's it.
Because he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. Because I can understand a woman's trauma when she's a teenager or unmarried, pregnancy. I can understand that. But what you're pushing is not that. What you're fighting for is not that. That is not what you're fighting for. What you're fighting for is something, and you're lying. You are lying. You are the one, not Trump, you are the one who is trying to get the government involved in a woman's body, not him. You are the one. He's not. He's a, leave it to the states. Let people make their choices, which is understandable. He may not understand scripture, but it is understandable. God said, I set before you life and death. You choose. The states are the ones who are making the choices. Ultimately, if a particular state makes a choice, the blood is on your hands. The blood is on your hands. Okay. So, that's it. But so these people, you know, you need to realize when God is out of their sight, and they are all using the name of God. Using the name of God. But you take God out of the picture, then the question is, in the spiritual realm, which we know is absolutely real, who has taken over? The devil has taken over. And who is he? He's a murderer. From the beginning. Murder from the beginning. And that's how we have to see it. So you look at all these three questions. You look at it. That's what's happening. And the thing is that if this is it's already happened in UK. But UK doesn't determine the world's future. That's over.
It's over.
The sun has set on the British Empire. Yes. Once they say the sun will never set on the British Empire, but the sun has already set. God used all this wickedness of men, colonialism, whatever you want to say, but at the end of the day, God allowed these things to happen and he used it to take Christianity to the ends of the earth. The British Empire served its purpose. The gospel came in. Missionaries came in. They went to all these lands against the wishes of their own government. They lived, died, preached the gospel, and it reached. So it served its purpose. But then there is America. And America is the last bastion of liberty, freedom. And that is what on November 5th on the ballot, what is liberty. And there are two liberties that are being preached. The liberty for righteousness and the liberty for wickedness.
Lawlessness, yes.
That is Romans 6. Romans 6 is on the ballot.
Wow. Democracy is not on the ballot. Romans 6 is on the ballot. Hallelujah.
Do wickedness or to do righteousness? It is on the ballot.
I think that should be the title of today's.
People don't realize it. And people just use a simple man like that. Super. A simple man who's not a believer, who doesn't have all those conservative principles. But if you look at him, there are three things I like about him. One, he's a very successful entrepreneur. Okay, he's worked hard. He works hard. He works very hard. I mean, boy, at this age, he still sleeps 4 or 5 hours only.
And he travels like crazy.
Fit as a fiddle for his age. And eats unhealthy, but that's healthy for him. Okay, he eats unhealthy. I mean, I would think it unhealthy, but I know it is healthy for him. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do drugs. That interview he did with that guy,
CEO,
whatever his name is, and he was talking about cocaine. What does it do? Okay, cool man. He called him homo and owl and all that. He's calling President Trump. He's one of the big guys. He had over millions of hits. This is one of the biggest guys on podcast. I forgot his name. He did this thing with him. I mean, he's giving interview after interview after interview with every group of people. This lady is hiding. And the media is whitewashing. Okay? And he did that with him. Okay? And you can look at him that he had a family tragedy. Therefore, he never did drugs, which is a huge thing. It's a huge thing. Okay, he's married, divorced twice, married 3 times. But if you look at him, there are certain things which I like about him. One, he's a very successful entrepreneur. Any field, if you're successful, it's good. You worked hard to be successful. Mm-hmm. You thought working hard, you cannot be successful. So he's successful. Two, he loves children. He loves his family. He loves his children. And his children love him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. I mean, to be married thrice and to have all your 5 children love you is not a small
feat. Achievement.
It's an incredible achievement. It's an awesome achievement. That when he came in the first time after the assassination attempt, when he walked in on the first day of his convention, you should have looked at his
family.
His eyes, because he was seeing his father for the first time, because the father was away, he was away, they all came over there. You would have looked at his children and their emotions, how much they loved their father. Okay, and his grandchildren. He loves his grandchildren. Okay, so you look at those. So these are values. These are values. Okay, these are values. Okay, marriage is between two people. You can fail. You can fail. Because like I said, because your marriage failed, your home doesn't have to fail. Marriage. Okay, marriage is between two people. They have to agree to walk together. But that doesn't mean, okay, your children are still there, all five, and each one, all said and done, each one is successful in their own ways. They're not dependent on their father.
Thank you, Lord.
They're not dependent upon their father. They're all independent of their father financially, all independent, doing well. Okay, so you look at all that, and okay, and like I said, he's not a pastor, he's a president. Okay, he's a president. Okay, yes, he speaks out of turn. At times, I also get upset when he speaks out of turn. But then, forget it. Okay, that's the way it is. At 78, you ask a man to change so radically. It's not very easy. But all said and done, he's under control most of the time. He's under control. But if you look at his policy, you see, I always tell there has to be two things. If you don't love God because you don't know him, then love your country and love your family. Okay. If you don't love God, because you need a reason why you're doing things, motivation, reason why you're doing things. If you don't love God, okay, like our founding fathers, they didn't really know God, but they loved their country.
Yeah.
They loved
their truth.
You can't say Gandhi and all loved
India.
They loved
India.
They loved India. They loved their country.
And from north to south.
Yeah, north to south. They can't. So, if you don't know God, you still have to love something. Don't love yourself. Because that's a waste. And you'll destroy yourself. Love your country. Love your family. And how do you know he loves his country is that if you listen to him when he was a young man in his 30s speaking to his youth, recorded this thing to Orpha or whatever those people. Orpha Winnie or
Winfrey.
I don't know her name. I can't even stand those people. Because not because they are celebrities, because they have perverted the gospel. I always say that you're a celebrity, shut your mouth. Don't talk about our God. Don't claim to be a Christian and change the gospel, because she has misled such a huge number of the African Americans with a false gospel. These are powerful influencers. I don't care if you influence them in their singing and songs and dances, but not with the gospel. Because they have preached a different gospel, therefore the people receive a different spirit. Because these are people, she has her own gospel. I don't know why they don't stay out of it, because it's a very dangerous place to go into. So, you know what? But if you listen to him, what he said as a young man, he's still saying the same thing. So that is consistency. Okay, so in the pulpit also, that's what you look at. You look at a person and you look at when he preached 50 years ago, and you look at 50 years and you realize this man has really not changed. His fundamentals are the same. He may adjust it here and there with the new generation, times and all, but fundamentals are still the change. This is what he believes in. And that's how you judge a person. But if you look at the current other presidential candidate, Kamala, flip-flop. What she said then and now what she's saying as a candidate are exact opposites. I am against fracking. I am for fracking. I am against this. I am for it. Just for the sake of words. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. Obama and all were like that. Pretended to be Christians and hold up these values. When they got the power, they were the most anti-Christian forces ever to take over the country. Okay. Now Trump comes in. He doesn't claim to be a Christian. First time. He never claims to be a Christian. He just says, maybe I'm a Christian. He's not very sure. But look at his policies. They're all Christian. They're all equal. And that's what matters. What I want from the president is not a sermon. What I want from a president is just policy. I want from a pastor is a sermon. Okay, pastor is not going to bring economics policies into the system. That's the president's job. Okay, so what I want from a president is, show me your policy. And his policies, I looked at it, almost all of it, as far as I have heard and understood, in his 4 years of office, personally, he never brought one unrighteous law into the system. And he brought a lot of laws which were righteous. And that's what the Bible says, when a righteous man, the seat of power,
is exalted, yeah, the entire nation rejoices.
And yes, that is the righteous man. Promise. He was not righteous in the sense of righteousness that comes by faith, but by the righteousness of the law, the standard. He was a righteous man who sat and he lifted the whole country up and they brought him down. But on the other hand, if you put an unrighteous person over there, like the first two terms of Obama and the third term of Obama by extension Biden, okay, because he's the power behind the throne. It's not a beneficence. Biden is not the one who's ruling. Okay, so what did they bid? It brought the nation down. Unrighteous people bring the nation down by bringing unrighteous policies and laws. So that's what we have to look at it. And that's how we vote. Yes, we'll call it a day.
Boy.
Okay, I know more people in America listen to Q&A than in India.
Thank you, Lord.
That's where I'm an influencer. Which I know I am.
Social media influence.
So many people who were Democrats after listening to us became Republicans.
Hallelujah.
Because at the end of the day, I'm neither white nor black. I'm a brown man. No? And we were ruled by 100 years by the white man, and I have no issues with him. I have no issues. Honestly, I'm not an anti-national or anything. I thank God the white man came here.
That's what even Gandhi said in his final words. He said, when we send back the British, we don't send them as foes, but we send them as friends.
No, it's not just that. It's the good they did. Because again, whitewashing is going on. Because you honestly think about, I've said this before. Think about one of the smallest states in India is my state. Not population-wise, but area-wise, small state. Before the British came in, or if the British came in here, we had three kings. Calicut, Northern, the Samarins who welcomed Vasco da Gama, Cochin, and Trivandrum, Travancore. We had three kingdoms in that. Do you know how many kingdoms, princely states were there in India before the British came? Over 1,000.
Wow.
Who made India? Not Gandhi, the British. The British made India into one nation. They made India into one nation. There are two things they did. The British did. One, railways. They started the railways with United India. They started the postal system that in this thing and made us into a country. And then they left. And what they left was a country. If they hadn't come here, do you know what our lives would have been? It would have been like Africa. So many tribes and races and castes, and this Andhra Pradesh itself would have been how many different, no? Telangana one, Northern Andhra Rayalsima. One, Rayalsima one. We would have been fighting each other. What a mess it would have been. Half would, all Northeast would have been controlled by China, and Pakistan would have been taken over. All these religious things would have taken place over here. So I don't blame the British. Thank God the British came over here. And thank God they changed this country and they made us into one nation. They made us into one nation and they left peacefully. We will talk about one Jallianwala Bagh massacre and all that. One thing we will talk about that. Okay, that was wicked. That is heinous. But British didn't do so much damage over here like the Spanish did in South America. And the reason was the British were Protestants and the Spanish were Catholics. The Catholics did not have God. So they were ruthless. The Protestants still, because they had God, still had that ethos. So therefore, they were not violent. So you have to always have comparison. Look, if you want to talk about colonialism, then compare. What did the Spanish do to South America? What did the Japanese do to Korea? You don't want to talk about that at all because it doesn't fit in your narrative. One of the most heinous colonial powers in human history was the colonization of South Korea by the Japanese. That is why even now the Koreans are not able to really
reconcile with them.
Japan has changed, but... And why did Japan change?
Because of American influence.
American. People don't realize that when Japan surrendered in the Second World War, General MacArthur, which was called, whose nickname was the American Caesar. He was the one in central command of the Pacific, all that. He ruled America, ruled Japan for 1 or 2 years. And brought the technology, brought the system. That's why they are so Western in their thinking. You need to ask ourselves, how come Japan is so Western in the thinking while the other Southeastern nations are in? Because America actually ruled Japan after the Second World War and brought in everything and changed their thinking. Okay, that's why they are so Western and modernized and also. America has, they have their bad, everybody has two sides because everybody ate from that tree. So we have a good and evil. Good and evil. Okay, so the good side, we always have to appreciate the good that and not be like Anthony said, the good that, evil that men do lives after mm-hmm. them, the good. So Polynesianism in itself per se was bad because enslavement of any man by another man is per se bad. Mm-hmm. But this is an aspect of history.
That is a norm.
That started in Genesis 4 when one brother overpowered the other brother. Mm. He was basically trying to enslave him, but in the process he killed him. So he basically enslaved. So this started from there. Okay, it has always happened from there. But in the process, we look at it and we will realize that, you know what? Colonialism had its own bad sides and it had its good sides. And as an Indian who was ruled by the British for 300 years, I will say, thank God they came. Thank God they made us into one country. And thank God, quietly they left. They left quietly, peacefully, friendly.
There's no bloodshed, yeah.
Yeah, no, we still have very good relationship with Britain. Them, yeah. We are not angry or upset with them, nothing at all. They left. They did. Okay, so as a brown man, I can talk to the black man and to the white man. Okay, racism is absolutely wrong. You do not judge a person by the color of his skin. And if he's a president, you judge him by his policy. And if he's a pastor, you judge him by his sermons. Black preacher, white preacher, brown preacher, I have no issues with anybody. I'll look at what you're preaching. But that's what matters to me. And if you're preaching wrong, I don't care how white you are, I won't accept you. And if you are preaching right, I don't care how black you are, I will receive you. I will receive you. I will receive you. Because that's how we make value judgments. Because in eternity, there is no color to this body. It's only glory. It's only glory. There's no color to this body. That's how we look at it. Yes, Pastor Vijay, we will close.
Wow. Just amazing. Thank you, Lord. Just amazing.
Yeah. We'll pray.
Pastor, close.
You pray.
Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time of teaching through this forum. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the word that was sown into the hearts of your people. And I pray, Lord, it will bear fruit, even 100-fold, O Lord. Your words are eternal, Lord. They'll never change because you are an unchanging God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you. Thank you. That's what you told your people, Israel. Lord, you said, I am the Lord who changed not, and therefore you are not consumed in your iniquities. Thank you. Thank you that we serve an unchanging God whose value systems have never, ever been compromise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And you said in your word, go back to the ancient paths. Go back and learn the eternal truths of God and build your lives on them. And therefore, I pray, Lord, each one of us, doesn't matter which country we belong to, which racial background we come from, Lord, what education that we may have, enable us, Lord, to build our lives on those ancient paths which have been established in your word. And enable us to contend for the truth even in these days, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this forum. I pray, Father, for all my brothers and sisters all around the world, O Lord, that these words will penetrate in the deepmost parts of the inner man, that you will write these laws on the tables of our heart, and you will cause us to walk in your ways. And Lord, we will see, O Lord, a change even in the coming days, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To that end, I pray that you would bless, and Lord, you would multiply the seed that was sown, that will bring forth a harvest of righteousness in the days to come. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Truth sets me free according to your word, Lord, be it unto me. it's true. You promised us.